Great being with you this morning. Yeah, I was thinking, if you got your Bible, why don't you go ahead and open it to Genesis chapter 15. How many of you know that there's none good, no, not one? That's a Bible verse, by the way. Romans chapter 3. I think it's Psalm 32 maybe also. God looked down upon the earth and he saw all the wickedness that was going on. He said, I should send an angel down there to check it out. So he sent an angel. She came back. She said, yeah, Lord, it's like 95% bad, 5% good. He said, I better get a second opinion. He sent another angel down. She came back also and said, God, it's 95% bad, 5% good. God decided he was going to write a letter to that 5% to encourage them, a letter that would encourage them. So he decided that 5% that's good, I need to encourage them, so I'm going to write an email to them. Do you know what the email said? Oh, you didn't get it either? There are none good, no, not one. I'm so glad that I'm part of Gateway. Gateway is a church for imperfect people, right? Amen. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. I want to talk to you this morning about building a big faith. Here's the deal. Fear can freeze your faith. But the opposite is true also, that faith neutralizes fear. Faith neutralizes fear, and so it gives you the ability to press on. It gives you the ability to keep going when you don't feel like going. It gives you the ability to believe God when you're not sure what he's doing, but you know that he's a good God. The Bible says that we are to live by faith. We're to live by faith, but you know, many people, excuse me, the Bible says that we're to live by faith, but you know, a lot of Christians don't even have a working definition for faith. A lot of folks, you know, faith is trusting God, but how do I trust God? How is my faith worked out in my daily life, in my job, my marriage, raising my kids, in my relationships? How's my faith worked out there? And faith is such an important concept that we can't explain it in like a word or even a phrase. 1 John 5:4 says, this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. This is the victory that's overcome the world, our faith. You know, faith is like a diamond. It's multifaceted, so it's hard to put a definition to it. But let me give you some things that faith are this morning. We're going to look at two things, what faith is and how do I build a big faith. So it's interesting, you know, the word faith is used 485 times in the New Testament. Pretty important topic. So what is faith? Here's the first thing. Write this in your notes if you would. Faith is seeing the unseen. Faith is seeing the unseen. Last week we talked about how the Israelites, one of the things they did wrong is they believed what they saw over what God said. So when they saw something that didn't line up with what God said, they went with what they saw rather than what he said. Like when they went into the promised land and they saw the giants, they said, we can't go there. We can't take those guys on. They're too big. We're too small. But God said, no, I'm giving it to you. I'm going to push them out. But see, they believed what they saw more than what God said. And that's a big mistake we make. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. I mean, think of the greatest thing that you can imagine God doing in you or through you. God says, I can do more than that. Like those great theologians, Bachman, Turner, Overdrive, baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. See, God can do more. In Genesis 15, if you've got your Bible, you can follow along. It's on the screens also, of course, but I want to give you an example of faith. And you know, faith always begins with a picture. Faith always begins with an idea or a vision. God says to Abram, I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. And it's pretty hard for Abraham to believe because he's like almost 100 years old and he doesn't have any kids yet. He's like, really? Really? I'm going to have kids now? And God says, I can see you're going to need a picture. So he takes him outside and he says, look at the stars in the sky and number them if you can. That's what your descendants are going to be like. Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me seeing I'm childless and the heir in my house is Eliezer of Damascus? See, if you don't have an heir, if you don't have a child that's come from your body and somebody else has a child in your home, they become your heir. And Abraham said, look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who comes from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And Abram believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Amen. See, faith always begins with a picture. You got to be able to see it. And you got to be able to see sometimes, so often we go with the unseen, or we go with the seen, which is natural, but the unseen is a spiritual thing. It's something, believing what God said more than what you see. Amen. Every time Abraham would go outside at night, he'd look at the sky and say, oh, that's what my family's going to be like. It was a picture that he had. It starts with a picture. I remember almost 25 years ago now when our family moved here to take the church that, you know, we saw this beautiful community. We believed that God was going to create a vibrant church that was going to reach into these homes around here. And we knew that some of the homes in this community were filled with people that were really hurting. We knew that some people had bad marriages and they're going to need help there. And some had financial problems and some were just, they were just lonely and they needed a family. And we saw that. And that gave us the courage to say yes to Gateway. The reality was that there was just a tiny little core here. There were about 30 people in the church at that time. And I'm so glad some of them are still here. I think of Warren and Sue and Joe and Christine and Rebecca. And I don't, anybody else here when we came in the very beginning? I mean, it was just a small core of people. And we had no money. What they didn't tell us before we came was that there was a $4 million debt hanging over our heads. Million, you know, with an M, $4 million debt. It, you know, there was 10 years deferred maintenance on all the buildings. This place, I thought about digging up some of the old photographs for you to see the place. But see, God made a way. Amen. He provided the money. He provided things for us that were just phenomenal how things came together at just the right time. And did I mention we are debt-free today? Amen. Yeah, go ahead. See, we're reaching our community because of your generosity. But we had to see the unseen. Faith is seeing the unseen. Here's the second thing you can write is faith is risking failure. When we started telling our friends that we'd been offered this amazing church in Agora Hills, some of them said, oh, we've heard about that place. Don't take it. Don't take it. Whatever you do, you'll get it fixed up. And headquarters will come and sell it to get paid back that money that's owed them. They'll swoop in and sell them. I talked to my supervisor about it. He said, oh, no, that won't happen. Then about a year in, after we got the place cleaned up, I got a call from a realtor. Yeah. The pleasant conversation, let me let you know. She said she'd been authorized to sell our property. And I said, well, you know, anybody can drive through the property. Nobody's told me about this, so anybody can drive through. But if I catch you in one of our buildings, I'll have you arrested. Very pleasant conversation. Took a few years to work that all out, but here we are, almost 25 years later. Yeah. See, faith is risking failure. It's stepping into the unknown. You don't know what's out there, but you know God's telling you to go. That's what faith is all about. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. That can be scary, right? Y'all look so spiritual out there this morning. That can be kind of scary, right? Faith is letting go of your security. Faith is just stepping out. It's facing your fears. I mean, think about Jesus calling Peter out to walk upon the water. You know, interesting fact about that is you got to get out of the boat to walk on the water. It's like the turtle, you know. He only makes progress when he sticks his neck out. See, that's the story. In Mark chapter 5, there's a situation where this woman who'd been sick for 12 years, and she'd seen Jesus and she'd heard about Jesus, and she had this thing in her heart that if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'd be made well. And people are bumping into him and crowding all around him. She reaches through and she touches the hem of his garment, and instantly the Bible says that he felt power go forth from him. And Jesus says, who touched me? And of course, Peter, he's kind of the Barney Fife of the disciples. Yeah. Peter's like, what do you mean, Lord? Everybody's touching you. And he said, no, I felt power go out. And he finds this lady. And what's he say? Daughter, your faith has made you well. Daughter, your faith has made you well. That act of faith healed her. She reached out and she touched Jesus. And something powerful. See, faith is deciding to do something. Faith is getting out of the boat. It's the antidote to procrastination. It's you decide. It helps you move off the fence of indecisiveness and to take some initiative. There's an old German proverb that says, begin to weave and God will provide the thread. Sometimes you take that step. You don't know what you're doing, but you take that step, and it's in taking the step that the answer comes. But there will be times, honestly, let's not pretend, there will be times when you step out in faith and you fall on your face. What do you do when you fail? Isaiah 43 says this, do not remember the former things. What's he saying? Don't focus on the past. Pretty hard to drive looking in your rearview mirror. It says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do what? A new thing. I will do a new thing. And it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Listen, failure is never final until you refuse to get up. See, your failure isn't nearly as important as which direction your feet are facing when you get up. Am I going to keep pressing? God says, listen, I want to bring productivity where there's been barrenness. I want to bring fulfillment where there's been frustration. I want to bring success where there's been failure. Listen, I want to bring water in the middle of the desert. I'm going to do a new thing. Anybody hungry for a new thing? I'm going to do a new thing in your life. And some of you have fallen flat on your faces in the past, but that's not nearly as important as your response to that failure. You're going to lie around. You're going to let it get you down. You're going to get up. You get a choice. I can either stay laying down or I can get up and do something about it. And I've talked to so many people over the years that they're, you know, 5-10 years ago, they went through a divorce or they went through a bankruptcy or something, and they're still in that place. There's still this major embarrassment. There's still this sense of shame. And God wants to come along and say, listen, let's do a new thing here. Amen. Let's let go of the past. Let's move ahead. Faith refuses to have a pity party. Right? I will not look at what I have been. I'm going to focus on what I can become. And that's what God offers to us. Faith looks forward. So faith is seeing the unseen. Faith is risking failure. Here's the third thing. Faith is training your expectations. You got to train how you think. These blind guys were following Jesus around. They'd heard of his miracles. They hadn't seen him, but they'd heard of him. And they're following around. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. He said, what would you like me to do? They said, we'd like to receive our sight. The Bible says, then he touched them and said, according to your faith, let it be to you. According to your faith, let it be to you. Faith is positive expectation. You expect God to answer. You expect the favor of God. You expect things to work out. You expect things to come together. Why? Not because we're so good, but because God is good. Amen. God has your best interest at heart. He is always working, even when we don't see it. We've got to train our expectations. We tend to see what we expect to see. We tend to feel what we tend to what we expect to feel. And can I just tell you that one of the best things some of you can do is when you get up in the morning, say something like, good morning, Lord, rather than good Lord, it's morning. You got to train your expectations. This kind of thinking helps you to become a godly optimist. Depending on your level of faith, listen, faith is expecting the best. We set ourselves up for success or failure or fulfillment or frustration. It depends on your level of faith. This kind of thinking helps us to train our expectations. I mean, come on, if God tells you to go after Moby Dick in a rowboat, bring the tartar sauce. But again, we should be honest that sometimes the answer doesn't come. So what do you do? What do you do when the answer doesn't come? Faith is waiting for the answer. You write that in your notes. Faith is waiting for the answer. You got to learn how to wait. Are you good at waiting? No. It's like a spiritual discipline. Psalm 40, verse 1. King David writes this. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. I don't know if he's exaggerating or not. But he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He said, it didn't happen right away, but I waited, and it came. See, that's an evidence of faith. How you respond in the waiting rooms of life is an evidence of our ability to trust him, to have faith in God. It's a mark of maturity. You know, kids can't wait worth beans, right? Right? Both of you, thank you. All right. Kids can't wait worth beans. They think no and not yet are the same things. And you know, so, you know, maturity, though, is the ability to wait. Faith is waiting for the answer. And timing is so important in life, and especially in the Christian life, because you don't want to get ahead of God's timing, or you don't want to lag behind in God's timing. You know, whatever, in your job, your marriage, or working with your kids, or every other area of your life, you don't want to be dating the wrong person when God brings the right person. Trust in God, paying attention to him. You know, the children of Israel waited 400 years for a deliverer, and that's a long time to wait in anybody's book. And sometimes you just got to keep on keeping on. You're expecting it. You're waiting, but it hasn't come yet. And you just got to hang on there. And sometimes, you know, you don't know what the holdup is. You don't know what God is doing. But can you trust him anyway? And even if he didn't do another good thing for you in the rest of your life, would you still love him? Would you still serve him? And sometimes you're waiting and it's passive, and sometimes you're waiting and it's active. It's more of a persisting, and it's more trying to do the right thing. And it's active, it's working, it's striving, it's continuing, I'm not going to give up on this job. I'm not going to give up on this marriage. I'm going to contend for breakthrough. Think about Noah, for example. God tells Noah to build an ark. If you really think about it, Noah probably didn't even know what an ark was. He said, why are we building this big boat, Lord? Well, because it's going to rain. What's rain? It had never rained on the earth. God caused the mist to rise from the ground and settle. It never rained. So here he is. He's like 120. It takes him 120 years to build this ark. And people lived longer back then because, the toll of our sin hadn't taken on the generations. And Noah's out there. He's building this ark in the middle of the Sahara Desert, and people are living a long time. They're probably thinking he's some kind of crackpot, right? What's the Apostle Paul say, though? Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season. Can somebody say in due season? In due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And sometimes you've just got to keep putting one foot in front of the other, day after day, week after week, just waiting. And even when things don't make sense, you're just going to stick ahead. You're just going to keep going. And some people want to win it all at one time, but I'll tell you, the Bible says there's something really powerful about the person who just plods along. You just one step at a time, trusting God. I'm going to keep walking with him. I'm going to keep trusting him. I'm not seeing it yet, but I'm going to wait patiently on the Lord because I believe he hears me, and I believe he's got my best interest at heart. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would go to receive his inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. I mean, can you imagine God showing up to Abraham? Hey, Abe, we're moving. Where are we going, Lord? I'll tell you later. When are we leaving? Right now? Well, what will it be like? Milk and honey. Thank you very much. That's real descriptive. I have no idea what that means. How will I know when we get there? I'll tell you. Honey, start packing. That was Abraham, right? Remember the story of Gideon? The book of Judges. If you've never studied the book of Judges, it's an amazing chronicle of human nature. Every page, every chapter in the book of Judges pretty much begins with, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And there's this cycle that they're stuck in. In Bible college, we called it sin, servitude, supplication, salvation. They'd fall into sin. They'd come into bondage, servitude. They'd cry out to God, supplication. And God would raise up a deliverer, salvation. In chapter 6, Gideon's the guy. He's hiding in a wine press. And the angel of God shows up. He's hiding. The Midianites have been attacking them all over and over again. They're like God's tool of punishment for the children of Israel. They'd sinned again in the sight of the Lord. He's hiding, and the angel shows up and says, "Mighty man of valor." Gideon's like, "Hey, I'm the guy that's hiding here. I'm the least in my father's house," and that sort of thing. And it's communicated to Gideon that he's been called by God to set his people free. So there's more to it than what I'm going to share with you this morning. It's worthy read, Judges chapter 6, if you want to read it. But God tells Gideon, get yourself a torch, an empty pitcher, and a trumpet. Give that to all your army. That's standard Israeli army equipment. Give it to everybody. And then do what I tell you to do, and they light the torches in the pitcher, and they blow the trumpet and crack the thing, and the Midianites are destroyed. Doesn't make any sense. I mean, there's a lot more to it. You should read the story. You should read this book. There's some great stuff in here. I'm telling you. But has God ever asked you to do something that makes no sense? I mean, faith is obeying and trusting when I don't understand. And faith can do anything that God can do. You ever think about that? Faith can do anything that God can do. We've just barely scratched the surface on these, but remember that the Bible teaches, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. And all that God does in our lives, he does on the basis of faith, on the basis of faith. And there's now no doubt that some people have more faith than others, but what your faith accomplishes is based on two things: how much faith you have and what you put your faith in. So how do I get more faith? Romans 10:17 says, So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the Bible teaches that my faith is determines what God can do. Your faith determines what God can do. And so I want to take a look at three things that you can do to build your faith this morning. Here's the first thing. Write this in your notes. Trust God to help. Put your trust in him. You know, sometimes we want to run out, and we want to get involved, we want to do everything, and then a few days later we think, man, I haven't even thought about God in this process. We want to solve everything and work everything out, and he's saying, no, I want you to just trust me here. God loves it when we realize that our hands are empty unless he places something in them. God loves it when we come and we say, God, I've got nothing. I've got nothing in this situation. Matthew 17, verse 20. I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. I know some of you are facing impossible problems right now. You need this verse. God wants to help. He wants to be at your side. It doesn't take a lot of faith. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, see, if you put a little faith in a big God, big things can happen. Amen. Trust God to help you. Here's the second thing. Pray like God really is on your side. Pray like God really is on your side. Matthew 21:22, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. I've heard a lot of Christians, they pray more like, well, dear sir, if you really care, and if you can help, if you're not too busy, if you can afford it. God wants to do great things on your behalf. He wants to do great things. He did it before, he can do it again, right? Again, one of the importance of reading this book, you see what God has done for people. I love the attitude of the three Hebrew children that are in the fire. Remember, my shack, your shack, and a bungalow. they said, we believe that God can deliver us. We believe that he will. But even if he doesn't, we're still going to worship him. He's not on your case. Come on, he's on your side. God wants to do great things. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you seek him, God wants to reward you. It's like it just triggers something when your heart is to seek God, not seek things, not seek affirmation from anybody, not seek answers to anything, just, I'm going to seek you, I'm going to press into you, God. If you do that, there's something that triggers in the spirit that God says, okay, you're doing that, I'm going to do my part. God rewards those who diligently seek him. Amen. Our expectations can really get messed up with a bad perspective. And you don't have to run around and ask everybody else what they think about something. You can trust what God has said about that situation. I mean, think about it. If you're a parent and you have little kids, or if you remember back when you had little kids and they're standing at the edge of the pool and you say, come on, jump to daddy. Is that a thrill when they go, and here they come? See, God loves that when we press into him, when we trust him like that. The Bible says that if you'll pray believing, you will receive. And then that leads us to the third point. You can write this in. Believe what the Bible says. Take it at face value. Now, there have been over the years a few times when people have had serious needs. People have been praying. They're believing. And they have legitimate needs. And they're praying, they're believing, And the answer's not coming. And I got to say, I don't know what's going on either. They're saying, "What, you know, Lord, I think I'm doing everything right. What's going on?" All I can say is, I don't know what's going on. It seems like you're doing everything right. But I do know that we have a good God. And that he is able. And he wants to meet our needs. And when he doesn't meet our needs, he's got a higher purpose somehow. Something's going on. Maybe he's just teaching us to persevere. I don't even want to speculate. Mark 9:23, his dad comes to Jesus and he says, "Lord, if you can do anything, would you help my son?" And Jesus looks at him and is like, if I can do anything, he said, "If you can believe, all things are possible for him who believes." Remember Wernher von Braun, the man who founded and initiated the space age? He said, "There has never been a single great achievement in history without faith. It's the secret to achievement." John 14, "Most assuredly," Jesus said, "I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father." That's got to be one of the greatest, most amazing verses in the Bible. Greater things, Jesus is saying, "You're going to do greater things than me. How's that even possible?" Well, the way it's possible is God has sent his Holy Spirit to us. And so now when we pray, when we reach out, our impact can go worldwide in one prayer. Jesus only impacted where he was, so greater things than these. That's what he's talking about there. What do you think? Do miracles still happen? Whatever you think, I'm telling you, you're right. If you say no, you're right. If you say yes, you're right. We got to have our expectations lined up. We have to lay hold of the promises of God. Believe him. Set your stuff aside, if you would, please. I want you to think with me this morning as we wrap up our times. Which of these areas is an area you can work on this week? Is it risking failure? Is it trusting God? Is it believing what the Bible says? Is it rebounding from failure? Is it learning to wait? Is it the patience? Jesus said, "According to your faith, let it be to you." Lord, help us to trust you to help. Help us to trust you to really come alongside and help. Anybody need help this morning? Bow your heads and your hearts. Anybody, you're in a situation right now. You need God's help. Nobody looking around. Slip your hand up. I need God's help in my situation right now, all over the place. Anybody need help praying like God really does care? You think, if I listen to myself pray, sometimes it doesn't seem like I'm very faith-filled. You need God to come alongside of you. Yeah, right now, in Jesus' name. How about believing what the Bible says? Maybe there's been disappointment in your life. There's been a place you have believed God, and then nothing happened, seemingly. In your heart, it doesn't seem like God has heard and God hasn't done anything. You need to come back to that place of believing what the Bible says. Holding God at his word. It's okay to say, "God, I don't understand it. I don't know what you're doing," but you can't doubt him. Doubt is like a cancer. You got to cut it out. Right now, every head bowed, every eye closed, Father, we thank you for your word to us. Challenge us, Lord, to be people of faith. Challenge us to have a big faith. We know that it only takes a mustard seed, but Lord, we want to have a big faith. We want to see you do big things. So Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, birth something fresh in us. Anybody ready for something fresh? Slip your hand up. That's you. You need a fresh work of God. Maybe a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. There's a fresh move of God in your life. Those hands down, if you would. Is there anybody here this morning where you've been around God, you've been maybe in a church, or maybe you've never really connected with him, but you want to give, you want to really get to know God, you want to press in. You want this to be a new day in your life, and you're ready to say, "I need Jesus to be the Lord of my life." If that's you, nobody's looking around, slip your hand up, say that to me. "I need Jesus to be the Lord of my life." Come on, slip it up if that's you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. Oh, Father, right now in Jesus' name, we We pray that you would do a work deep, deep in our hearts. Help us to be a people who really know you and who really trust you and who really walk with you. We thank you for that in Jesus' great name. Amen. All right, great being with you today. In just a moment, the ushers are going to come forward and receive tithes and offerings. Now is a great chance to finish any information on your connection card, any next steps you'd like to take, anything the staff can help you with, any prayer requests. Remember, we pray for you on a regular basis. Every week we pray over our church. Father, thank you for providing for us like you do. Lord, we give back a portion of what you provided to us for the advancing of your kingdom. Lord, thank you for this generous church. We pray your blessing upon them. Bring open the windows of heaven and pour out so much upon them that they cannot contain it. Well, thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you. I'll see you outside. The team's going to take us out with a song.